It's Socks Up with Ryan Smith, the official podcast for the Queensland Reds.
Welcome back to the latest episode of Socks Up with me, Ryan Smith. As always, we're proud to partner with Triple M to produce this podcast, which is designed to take you behind the scenes at the Queensland Reds with all the hottest news, hottest guests, and hottest takes, including finding out who really does need to pull their socks up. This is the eighth and last episode for the 2023 season. And how good has it been? We're going to recap the Super Rugby season, look ahead to the Rugby Championship and World Cup, and chat with a few special guests as well on the phone. And as always, my mate, Pete Fairburn, he's here too. Let's get after it.
Well, Ryan, the Super Rugby season finished for the Queensland Reds with a quarterfinal defeat against the eventual runners-up, the Chiefs, 3 weeks ago. It was an absolute nail-biter. You guys really represented the jersey with pride, eventually going down 29-20. How have you been able to, review and reflect on that game?
Yeah, I think going into that game, we had some really, really good preview and had an awesome game plan. Obviously, a little bit similar to the one we took into them when we played them in New Plymouth a couple of weeks earlier. And we had some great preparations and, yeah, really stood up that game. There were guys making, you know, a huge number of tackles and working really hard off the ball. And I think our kickers did an excellent job. And, yeah, eventually we were right in it right until the end, as we saw. And, eventually they were simply too good. And, we sort of wanted them to absolutely smash every team for the rest of the season so we could, you know, could have shown how well we went. But, they eventually, got into that grand final. And, again, they put themselves in the position right to win it. And then, you know, the classy Crusaders ended up coming through in the end. And, awesome grand final to watch. And I was watching it down at Brothers there after the game the other week. And it was a good game, and good to reflect upon it as well. You know, we didn't quite have the season that we were chasing. Happy to make it into finals, but kind of put ourselves in the position where we had to beat the number one team, you know, that had been number one all year. And ultimately was a bit too big of a test for us there. So got knocked out in that first round of finals, which was unfortunate.
Is there a little bit of deja vu in terms of 2022, 2023? Similar situation where you showed throughout the year that you could take it up to anyone on your day, but ultimately that inconsistency meant that you came up against top teams in the first week of finals, and that's where it kind of finished?
Yeah, 100%. You know, we the end of last year, our last game of the regular season was against the Crusaders, and then stayed on for that next week to play them again in the first week of finals. And it was cool that we had that experience the year before, because we played such a good game in that final again last year. As you say, if we can drag in our worst games to be a bit closer to our best games, we'll go a long way. You know, there's so many games in the middle of that season that we lose by, you know, less than 3 points or less than a try. And if we can start to bring those ones back in a bit and, you know, get that hard-edged mindset that we know we can have, especially, you know, we grind out some pretty tough performances and end up beating, you know, top teams. If we can do that against, you know, sort of those middle order teams and get a bit few more of those wins on the board, then if our worst games are better, closer to our best games, we'll be a bloody fantastic team. We've got the cattle, and it's going to be exciting times over the next couple of years.
What happens now in terms of, once the season finishes for you guys, a bit of time off? I know you and the lovely Alex, who I got to meet at the end of season awards, went away, spent some nice time by the beach. But reviews, meetings, individual meetings, there's guys coming off contract, there's guys playing club footy, guys in international squads. What's the last couple of weeks looked like, and what does the next little while look like?
Yeah, sort of had a week off there, and had some end of year celebrations, which was good fun. And then
we'll fast forward past that bit.
Skip that bit, and then straight back into it. We had a week of training. As you say, sort of short on numbers with guys in across rehab and into some Aussie selection squads and things like that. So I think there was about 12 of us one of the weeks. So we, collaborate with the academy on Mondays and Thursdays and do some good training there. And then, back to our clubs Tuesday, Thursdays, and with the game for club on Saturday. So, it's a cool opportunity just to, develop skills and, maybe work on some things that, you might not get a chance to work on at Super because it's such structured game plans and things like that. But, if there's certain skills that you want to work on that might not fit into a Super Rugby you know, kind of level. You can go to club level and, you know, work on that footwork and work on those, you know, staying square through your pass and things like that. So, yeah, it's an interesting time with we have a big bunch of guys through rehab, as you do at the end of a season. So, yeah, small squad and small groups and, you know, guys pushing for higher honours and things. So, yeah, it's been a great little time to get some goals in place for the off season and, yeah, you know, get into the gym and get bigger and in preparation for, you know, the Challenger Series and some Panasonic games at the tail end of the year. But, yeah, also good fun being able to get back to brothers and, you know, all the boys getting back to their clubs and, you know, rekindling some friendships from there. And, yeah, it's been great fun. And, yeah, as you say, we all kind of got a week off last week and went to Rainbow Beach with my girlfriend and then Lawson and I made a trip out to St. George, which was good fun. They had their ladies' day out there, so we took the six-hour drive out and got a few mates out there. So watched them play against the Dolby Wheatman and got the win out there. So shout out to the Frillies there. So, yeah, that was good fun as well.
Unlucky Harry Hoopert. Yeah. And, mate, you know, you speak of brothers, those end-of-season awards night, you know, regardless as to how the season finishes, they're an opportunity to recognise group performance but also individual achievements. And I think the two biggest cheers of the night came from the Heavily Brothers associated tables. The first was when Paddy James was recognised for making his Super Rugby debut, but also when Harry Wilson went back-to-back in the Pilecki medal. So he joins the likes of Taniela, Samu Karevi, Liam Gill, Will Genya, David Croft, Chris Latham and Jason Little in terms of winning the Pilecki medal in consecutive years. He just edged out Fraser McWright with Jordy Patea, Tate and Rongers making up the top five. How did you see Wilson's season?
Yeah, he's just absolutely incredible, isn't he? He's always working hard around the ball. And, yeah, he's just one of those guys that always wants to get better. And, yeah, he's a great voice around the group. Obviously, we've had him on the podcast. And as all the viewers and listeners would know, he's just a hardworking guy and always puts his body on the line for the team. You can see him off those line dropouts just charging at people. And, you know, he probably knows he's going to get whacked, but he does it to try and get some front foot ball. And, yeah, he's always working on his craft and, yeah, he's just a great guy around the group and, yeah, great mate. And we've become pretty tight in the sauna recently at the new centre. So loving the new facilities and, yeah, can't wait to have him sticking around for another couple of years.
Still waiting for my invite to join you in the sauna. When you're doing your voting for the Pilecki medal, how does that work? What does it mean to you as players when you're lodging your votes? You know, when you see Harry stick the tongue out and go charging at the opposition, you know, the pukana, as they call it over in New Zealand, does that edge him up, you know, in the voting ranks?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm a bit biased sometimes with the brothers boys votes, but no, it's good. Kind of get the message to send our 3-2-1 votes in and, you know, having watched the game, you kind of get a bit of an idea, but no, it's cool to reflect on the guys and, you know, different guys, different weeks, but yeah, that sort of core group, you said, you know, Wilso, Fraser, Tate, Rongers. Rongers didn't get a full season in and was still right up there, so he obviously had a cracking season this year, and yeah, it's just good recognition for those guys to, you know, that it's not coming from the coaches, it's from the boys that are standing next to you giving you the votes. So it's an awesome, you know, medal to win, the Pilecki one.
Wallaby number 799 and Queensland cap number 1166. Drew Mitchell was born in Sydney but schooled in Brisbane at St Patrick's College, representing Australia at underage level and in rugby sevens before making his Super Rugby debut with the Queensland Reds in 2004, winning a spot on the Wallaby Spring Tour that year. Drew made 35 Super Rugby appearances for the Reds, scoring 11 tries before going on to represent the Western Force, New South Wales Waratahs and Toulon, retiring in 2017. Drew also played 71 tests for the Wallabies, scoring 34 tries, including 14 at Rugby World Cups, behind only John Olomu and Brian Habana. Welcome to the pod, Drew.
Mate, thanks very much. You've even given me a few little bits of detail that I didn't know about. I didn't know I was the Queensland Red 1166, so I've written that down.
Oh, mate, keep that in the back of the mind. And 11 tries, I am actually disappointed because I think I've got 7. I'm actually creeping up on you pretty well.
Yeah, look, it's you know, we only played, 11 games those years. Yes, it's thin pickings back in Super 12 days. And we unfortunately, we were the cellar dwellers around that time of Queensland's history. So tries were pretty thick, few and far between.
How good. It would have been interesting, the look at Ballymore back in those days compared to how it is now. Obviously, the new opening of the NRTC. It's got the debut run this week. We've had a bit of training there. I've come fresh from a sauna and a hot bath session. Oof. So, yeah, it would be interesting to see the comparison back in those days. But, just looking back at your time there at the Reds, what do you think your standout memories would be from those Reds days and a few of those guys you would have played with, young guy coming into that Reds squad? How were those early years and what are some of your standout memories from the Reds days?
Yeah, mate, I think, obviously, like you said in the intro, I scored in Brizzy at St. Pat's. I think you're at St. Pat's, old boy, aren't you, right?
Certainly am. There's a few of us floating around now.
Yeah. And, that was my introduction to rugby union. I was a rugby league boy growing up. Started playing both from year eight at St. Pat's on the weekends and just really fell in love with the game. I think also because, I just think schoolboy rugby is sort of different. It's a different type of connection because you kind of, you go to school with these guys from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m, training in the afternoons. You get to know each other. You're going through some, milestones with each other, puberty and first girlfriends and first kiss and failing at school, passing at school, all that type of stuff. All these experiences you're going through really bond you. And that's kind of what made me towards the back end of school and certainly the couple of years after it really start to take rugby more seriously, more so than rugby league. But through that time, I was, obviously going to Ballymore to watch the Queensland Reds play, and I was a left-footed fullback, and, there was a pretty handy left-footed fullback playing for Queensland in Chris Latham, who I just really looked up to. I really admired the way he played. I thought, the way he read the game, his big spiralling torpedo, the way he held the ball on the top of the footy, was just, I think Latho's synonymous to Queensland Reds, they even changed the name of the 4X Hill to the Don't Go Latho Hill when he was looking at going over to Ireland at one point. So I just remember going into that squad when I first got selected to then being training alongside and then playing alongside the guy that I really looked up to was a really unique experience for me. And it was probably a little bit daunting, if I'm being honest. Someone that, like I said, I watched how he played, I admired how he played, and then all of a sudden I'm communicating with him on the field and covering and all that sort of stuff. It was pretty unique. And then in the back three on the other side of the field was Wendell Saylor, which was, I guess, it was enlightening for good and bad reasons, Big Del. Some of the things I learned from Del was what to implement into my game, whether it be preparation, the game, or recovery. And some things certainly were things that I learned from him not to implement. So, it was fun times. And it was probably the first time I'd probably played against people that weren't my own age as well, to be honest. And I was, I was 81 kilos ringing wet playing at 13, my first season for the Queensland Reds. So it was a pretty tough initiation.
Yeah, 100%. And do you think some of those off-field things Del did, I think there's some of those guys that those things can almost add to their longevity, and other guys it certainly maybe reduces that a little bit. Do you think some of those guys just have some unique ability to, carry on a bit off the field and it just seems to not bother them at all?
Well, I just think I learned pretty quickly what worked for me and what didn't. So because I grew up, admiring Latho, I tried to emulate his preparation going into a game, and I quickly realized we're just different personalities. And he would be really concentrated and very quiet in the lead up to the game and start locking in from hours before, and I just didn't have the mental capacity to kind of lock in from that far out. And then we used to, even on home games, going to a hotel, and so I would room with Wendell in those hotel, like most of the day of the game, and he would get around in his red speedos and nothing else, and we'd sit in the room all day, and he would have the racing channel on. And in those days, you didn't have online app, but you had to call every time from the hotel phone, put in your TAB number, put your bet on. And I'd say, mate, we've got to go down for the, the pre-game lunch. And he's like, no, it's all good. I've got that sorted. We'd get a knock on the door, and there's a couple of steak sandwiches with hot chips and two cans of Coca-Cola. And so I'd start to consume that, and kind of, that was my preparation for a little period with Wendell. And I also then realised when I'm vomiting up that the steak sandwich and chips out in the field that was also not my preparation. So I think it was it took me a little while, like a number of seasons, to work out what worked for me. And certainly some of those behaviours I indulged in, especially after the game, going out for a few drinks and all that type of thing, you kind of work out pretty quickly. Well, unfortunately, I probably didn't work out that quickly. It took me a number of seasons to work out just what my limit was and what was the limit that didn't have a detrimental impact on my footy. So, but that's all part of gaining experience. And when people talk about experience, you can't buy experience. That's lived experience, and it takes a little while to come to terms with what works for you and what doesn't.
I probably had a little bit of a similar experience. I think my first ever trial, I got to have a run with the Reds. I kind of took it like it was a brothers club game and was kind of bouncing around and chatting to everyone and sort of getting up in everyone's grill and bouncing around. And we ended up losing the game, and Thorny roared at me for about 10 minutes after the game, you know, saying everyone prepares differently and I got to leave everyone alone. So, yeah, now Wilson and I kind of gather in a corner and get in each other's faces and leave everyone else alone.
Well, mate, you're exactly right, because it's not just about what you do and what works for you. You've got to quickly learn what works for others and leave them to their own devices if they want to be the concentrated type and sit there in their own silence and just think about things. And you've got to find the ones that are like-minded, and so then you don't have a detrimental impact on someone else. So, mate, there's a lot of lessons to learn along the way, and sometimes and it sounds like you have as well. Sometimes you learn some of them the hard way.
Yeah, exactly right, 100%. Mate, so we got some games in there for the Reds, but then obviously changed over, got some plenty of games in there for the Tars and the Force. Who truly has got your heart?
Mate, it's hard, right? I was brought up, my dad was a soldier, so we moved around a lot. So change for me is normal. Like I remember going into my parents' room in grade 9, crying because I just felt like I needed change. And they told me to stick at it, stay at the same school, and which I did, which I'm forever thankful for. But I just remember that my time at the Reds was great, you know, like getting my opportunity. I really wanted to be one of those guys on the wall in the offices there at Queensland Reds that played 100 caps. Like that was genuinely like a goal of mine. And unfortunately, my 4 years at the Reds, we had four different coaches. So things weren't going particularly well, not just on the field, but as an organisation. And I've said it, probably wasn't saying it at the time. I was probably a little bit embarrassed about it, but I went to the Western Force for the cash. You know, I was getting an amount on top of my Western Force and AAU contract that I just kind of, as a 23-year-old, I just couldn't knock back. And unfortunately for me, that was a hard lesson because that money didn't come to fruition. It was a fraudulent company that a lot of us sort of missed out on that cash. But it was a harsh lesson, but a good one that I learned early, not to face decisions solely on cash. And so I think my time at the Western Force, whilst I loved it, it was also a really hard time because for 3 years, every day off, every afternoon off, I was chasing meetings, I was chasing money, and, you know, it was a significant sum. And I think there was a negativity attached to it because I wasn't getting it that then flowed over into my friendships, into my relationships, how I was, holding myself within that team environment and that type of thing. So that I kind of just realised after those 3 years at the Western Force, I needed to go back east. And I was talking to Richard Graham at the time to go back to the Reds. And then obviously I was speaking to the Waratahs as well. And I don't know, I just felt like I wanted to go to Sydney and try that. Look, maybe this is also a bad trait of mine, but I'd say my spirit animal's a bit of a moth. I'm always attracted to the bright lights. And so like the bright lights of Sydney probably attracted me a little bit. And also they were competing for finals at the time. And, you know, as it was during that period, the Queensland Reds went on to win the title. So maybe that was another poor form of foresight from me. But I think, look, I love my time at the Waratahs as well. So it's a long-winded answer to who holds my heart. I don't know, mate. It might upset a few of your listeners, but I think maybe the Waratahs might. And it might be recency bias, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's what I think it would come down to.
We'll let it slide. The listeners will probably pepper you, but no, that's fine, mate. We understand. Mate, this is our last episode for the year, going on a little bit of a break. I've actually potentially trying to get a little shoulder up, but We're happy to give up the mantle as the rugby's best podcast in Australia for a little while. And, you know, I actually gave the new podcast, the Good, the Bad and the Rugby, a listen, the Australian edition. So we're going to let you guys keep the seat warm in the interim. Can you just give us a little bit of a rundown of the pod and, you know, who's involved? There's some big, big names, and it was a bit of fun this morning listening to it. You guys have a lot of fun on there.
Yeah, mate, I think that's what it's about, really. So basically, the Good, the Bad and the Rugby is a podcast that's based up in the UK with Alex Payne, the host, James Haskell and Mike Tindall. And so I think, unlike everyone, they're identifying the fact that the rugby world is going to be focused on Australia for the next 10 years. With the Rugby World Cup, obviously, this year, then we've got the British High Sciences 25, Home World Cup 27, Women's World Cup in 29, and, of course, the Brisbane Olympics after that with the 7. So, you know, like, there's going to be a lot of focus in Australia, so they wanted to kind of franchise out and get some real estate down here in Oz. And they've reached out to us, and when I say us, it's myself, Adam Ashley Cooper and Matt Giddo. Obviously, three really close mates, and we're all retired now. Kits lives in Canberra, Swoops in Bondi along with me, but we just don't get much opportunity to hang out like we used to when you're playing together and you're touring together and all that type of thing. And more than anything, it was probably just an opportunity for us to have a designated time to catch up. So once a week, gets on the Hume and drives up to Sydney, and we just enjoy a few beers and press record on the cameras and the microphones. And look, we're not going to be that hardcore analytical kind of rugby pod. We're not going to get bunkered down into that. Obviously, we'll be talking about what's going on in the rugby world. But we also just want to, it's almost like a fly on the wall type thing if we're to overhear our conversations at a pub and share some stories, share some insights, obviously some of our opinions, but also speak to some guests. And it won't all be rugby either. I think we intend to kind of get guests from other sports, from other walks of life that have had different experiences in terms of discipline and committing yourself and excellence and all that type of stuff. And I think there's a lot of transferables and all that. So, but yeah, I mean, it's for us, the focus is just to have some fun and also bring some positive light to a game that's probably been, I don't know if we can say this in your pod, but shit canned a little bit in the media over the last few years when we're definitely not been performing to our best. And when I say that, I think like holistically as a game. So I think, you know, if we can just bring a bit of humour, a bit of positivity to the game, then we're just adding to what is, you know, a fantastic opportunity in the next 10 years for people to really jump on and fall back in love or keep falling in love with the game of rugby.
Drew, we're kindred spirits as a podcast. That's exactly what we're looking to do. Good, the Bad, the Rugby Australia on all of your podcast apps. Make sure you follow. As Smithy said, the first episode's an absolute cracker. Drew Mitchell, thank you so much for giving up your time to come on Socks Up, mate. Really appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks very much for having me. And Ryan, all the best with your op if you have to get done in the off-season.
Smithy, the National Rugby Training Centre opened up at Ballymore last week, a brand new world-class high-performance facility. What are your first impressions of the facility and how excited are you to be able to have the opportunity to run out at Ballymore, hopefully later this year, against Panasonic, for example, for the first time?
Yeah, it's been amazing. We've sort of been walking around, pinching ourselves, having a look at it. It's a beautiful facility. And I've been saving myself $35 every time I hit those saunas. So that's been nice not having to go elsewhere. But it's just an amazing facility. You know, everything's really well thought out. And it's cool walking straight out onto field one and straight back into the lockers. And then, you know, it's right into those sauna, hot bath, hot and cold sort of facilities. It's an absolute world-class facility, and I think we're going to see it have a real effect around the guys, you know, being able to, everyone's just excited to turn up at the moment, being able to come in and brand new facility, nice auditorium for our meetings, and it's fantastic. And to be able to have games back at Ballymore will be great, being able to have that environment and the feel of that crowd nice and close to the field, and it's just awesome. I remember going to games with my dad, catching the train from Caboolture to watch the Reds versus the Blues a couple of times and sitting on the hill. So it's an iconic place for rugby in Queensland especially. So it'll be awesome to get back to some games there.
And to have a facility that really celebrates women's rugby as well, a permanent home for Queensland Reds women, Wallaroos as well, you know, their own dedicated change rooms and obviously shared, you know, recovery, etc. Pretty special as well.
Oh, 100%. You know, there's lots of imagery around on all the walls of some inspirational women's players and teams from across the last couple of generations. So, yeah, the girls will just be able to go from strength to strength in the new facilities. Same for them, you know, in those recovery facilities and all the analysis rooms and things like that. So just a great space for everyone to be able to utilise and try and just get better and better and better as we go.
Store Local Hospital Cup action is well and truly heating up. Plenty of Reds boys in action at the moment. Brothers, you guys are right up there near the top. Bond, East, West, GPS, a few of the usual suspects, but it's looking pretty tight. Mate, talk us through. Are you going to be out there this weekend playing for Brothers at UQ?
Yeah, hope to get out there for Brothers this weekend. We've done some pretty good review. Looking at really pepper Mac Gregorilli at the back there at fullback, trying to put some pressure on him. He's been dropping a few and, you know, looking a bit nervous under the high ball, so should be good to put a bit of pressure on him out the back there. But yeah, no, it's always good fun to play against those boys. You know, DZ and I always have a good run in at the rucks, and he sort of gets into me a bit and yeah, throw some fake punches at each other. But oh, it's just great to get back to our club. You know, there's a really big percentage of us that have got our crack at the Reds through that those club games. So yeah, it's good to be back playing alongside some of my good mates.
As things stand right now, who are Brothers going to be playing in the Store Local Hospital Cup Grand Final?
Oh, it's hard to say. Everyone's sort of beating everyone except for Sunnybank and North, really. Oh, that's a bit of a dig at Seth. Everyone's beating everyone. Bond Uni are going really, really well. And yeah, all the sort of those top teams are playing really well, playing really good footy. But yeah, hard to say. It'll definitely be Brothers in there, though.
And I should shout out South Magpies. I forgot to include them in that list, and Mel Watts would be at me about that. Mate, let's turn our attention to international footy. First game of the year for the Wallabies this weekend in Pretoria at Loftus-Versfeld. Five Reds in the mix to be named in that 23. A couple of potential debutants. Matt Fesler, favourite of the pod. Zane Nongor, Tate McDermott, Fraser McWright, and Suliasi Vunivalu also in the squad. Are you hoping to see all the boys in the mixer?
Oh, absolutely. I think those guys have all really done the work. You know, yeah, big shout out to Matty Fesler. He was Spirit of the Reds Award this year, so that's, you know, testament to the fact that he's just been working really hard and always put his hands up to help out around the place and does his preview review really well. So yeah, hoping he gets the nod. And yeah, also, you know, Nogsy as well, he's first timer in there, so same sort of deal with him. He's just been working really hard. I think he's youngest on tour, so he's walking around with the little Wally, the little kangaroo toy. So yeah, I think those guys, I've been messaging both of them. They seem to be really enjoying it. And then, yeah, Fraser and Tate and Suli coming off really strong seasons as well. So hopefully get the nod there. You know, Eddie Jones has been really pushing it hard that they want to win this game over there in Pretoria. So, yeah, I hope that all those five guys get in there and, you know, back the Wallabies to kick off this sort of international season with a bang there over in the high altitude.
And Australia A taking on Tonga next weekend as well. A few of those teammates of yours who are hoping to still stay in that mix for the Rugby World Cup, guys like James O'Connor, Josh Fluke, Harry Wilson, Jock Campbell, for example. And I know you referenced yourself maybe going for shoulder surgery, but you've been in that environment earlier in the year as well. For guys who aren't in that Rugby Championship squad at the moment, is the hope still alive for the Rugby World Cup?
Oh, 100%. I think, yeah, just because you didn't make that first squad for the first game, there's plenty of other games. I think there's just about a game every weekend up until the World Cup. So, yeah, every opportunity you get to take the field's another, you know, opportunity to put your best foot forward. And you never know what happens. Injuries just pop up like that. So, yeah, you just have to put it all out there on the field. So you never say die. And yeah, I think there's some other opportunities over for some Barbarians tours and things like that. So to be able to still play in that high-level footy is really important. And, yeah, I wish all those guys the very best over there.
And mate, just finally, our Wallaroos girls, pretty incredible scenes really last week when they played against the Black Ferns out at Dolphin Stadium. And while they didn't get the result they wanted against the world champions, 7,000 people in the stands. Women's rugby has well and truly arrived. And if you haven't come to the party, you're missing out. Girls now head over to Canada. They play Canada and the USA over the next couple of weeks as well. How excited were you to see such a big crowd out there in Redcliffe? And What's your experience of coming back from a heavy defeat? What do you think the girls need to look at to turn it around?
Yeah, cool to see it out there in Redcliffe. Obviously, that's sort of my local area a little bit. So good to see them out there. Would have been nice to have them at Ballymore, but I don't think it was quite ready for... It wouldn't have been ready for such a big crowd, to be honest, quite yet. So, yeah, I think in previous times, if we've had a big loss, you do have to do a little bit of a review of the game and kind of pick out maybe three or four key points about it that you need to, fix up. But ultimately, you just have to start getting on to the next one. You kind of can't think too much about that, a loss like that. You just need to be able to get on to the next one and almost brush it in a way and make sure the next one's a lot better.
Yeah, and shout out to friend of the pod, Brianna Cheatham, the cheater who got married last week. Very, very cool. Also friend of the pod, Ivania Wong over there in Canada, and all the Wallaroos girls, especially the Queensland Reds players. We're wishing you all the very best. Well, Smithy, every week on Socks Up, you've been asking 10 quick questions of our special guest, and we thought it was only right to finish the season by asking you. So it's Don't Think, Just Answer. Question number one, what would you be doing if you weren't playing rugby for a living?
Oh, I'd probably still be getting around Brisbane, keeping it nice and cool and banging in splitties, doing some air conditioning.
Who's the next Reds player to make their Wallabies debut?
The Pancake Piglet.
Who's the best player you've ever played with?
Probably Harry Wilson.
Best player you've played against?
Sam Whitelock. He's pretty incredible player, and for a big man, can get over the ball and get some pilfers, which I'm still trying to learn.
Who's got the best and worst fashion sense at the Reds?
The best fashion sense, I'm just going to back Liam Wright. Everyone's been giving him a bit of shtick about it, but he knows how to do it. He hasn't spent a dollar on his outfit and always looks the goods. And the worst, maybe Lawson Crichton. I think he just always walks around wearing the same kit, handed down from his 15 brothers. So, yeah, Lawson Crichton.
Doesn't mind a puffer vest.
He loves his puffer. $50 puffer he bought in Christchurch gets a good run.
Most intelligent teammate, and who should stick to footy?
Jock Campbell, I think, most intelligent. And Seth Fugassi, stick to footy.
Who should never be allowed to choose the music in the gym and why?
We're going to probably talk to him. We have already talked to him.
We would have already talked to him.
Oh, yeah. Definitely just stick with the common thread, Connor Vest. Get out of it.
Three dream dinner guests.
The new head coach of the Queensland Reds and his two assistants.
What's your favourite movie ever?
It sort of changes a little bit. Shawshank Redemption.
And finally, mate, your death row meal, entree, main, dessert and drink.
That's tough. Entree, just like a nice little edamame bean just to get yourself getting really ready for it. Stick with the Japanese sort of theme. Main, just a nice, fresh, like, sushi platter. All the pickings and trimmings. I love a bit of sushi. Dessert, just a McFlurry, but with Oreo, the M&Ms, and caramel sauce, all of it in there.
Shout out Maccas.
Yep, shout out Maccas. And a drink, 4X Bitters.
Well, you've heard plenty about him on the pod this year. Let's give Queensland Reds lock Connor Vest a call and catch up.
Vesty, how you going, mate?
Yeah, pretty good. Just getting through my physio, listening to some banging tunes.
Oh, no, get out of it. On that physio, how is the neck going? Let all the listeners know. Give them a little bit of an update.
Yeah, got some pretty good news yesterday. Got to get out of the brace. So that was 6 weeks in the brace. And now got a bit of a pencil neck that I've got to work on and thicken it up and try and get it as big as my thighs.
What, you've now got a pencil neck? You already had one, didn't you? No, that's good, mate. Good to hear. What's the sort of recovery look like now, in the new gym facility at Ballymore there? What are your sort of next couple of weeks look like?
Yeah, so the next couple of weeks are just getting back to the compound movements and lifts in the gym. Hopefully start running next week. So that's pretty crazy to think about. But yeah, it's all just about keeping my body moving, and the last couple of weeks have just been very, very lightweight and just bulk reps, so pretty much a bodybuilder now as well.
Looking good, shredded up like Damien Marsh.
Yeah, it's shredded like Damien. He's my role model.
Oh, 100% have to. I can't wait to see you in the fake tan too.
Yeah, oh yeah. We've got bottles of it here. They ordered it. They must have known it was coming.
Yeah, they're all over it. Tan that neck up a bit from that brace being on so long. Mate, pretty much every guest we've had on the podcast has stitched you up. We've got a question in our quick 10-fire questions about who shouldn't be let near the music in the gym. Your name has come up 99.9% of the time. Do you have any rebuttals to that?
I've just got no rebuttal, to be honest. I really think the boys aren't cultured enough to experience the music that I have. I bring something different. I don't bring the Aussie rock bangers. I don't bring the Fijian music. I bring the tunes that are going to get the boys through the grind of the day when we've got those double days, gym's coming in hard, we're lifting big weights. So I'm the one that's getting the boys through.
Yeah, I think maybe a bit of time on the tradie boombox on site has really cultured you, mate. You've covered all bases and get everyone pretty up, so I like to hear it. What are your top three tracks on the phone, or can you not even repeat them because they're all off SoundCloud dirty bangers?
A lot of them are SoundCloud mixes. So a lot of the DJ mixes, there's one that's going around at the moment, Dom Dollar. There's another one called David Attenborough. There's another one by Lude. So they're probably my top three at the moment.
I think you and Jonesy were pretty well happy to play hours and hours of music with not one lyric in it.
Oh, there's always a couple of lyrics that'd be like one, two, three, four. That was probably the extent of the lyrics, I reckon.
Yeah, that's pretty well it. Oh, God. All right, well, then in time, your turn for rebuttal then. Who do you think shouldn't be allowed near the aux cable in the gym?
I'm actually going to say Harry Wilson.
Yeah, fair enough. He's a big like Adele, Lewis Capaldi guy, isn't
he? Yeah. He's very. I'd say he's a basic white girl if he was to listen to music.
Pretty much. I know he listens to like Adele, T Swift. I think gets a bit of a run.
Yeah,
with him.
He gets around T Swift and pre-game. The Veronicas. Pre-game. He loves the Veronicas.
Yeah, ridiculous. I don't know how he gets himself G'd up, but then he'll run off the back fence at 120 kilo blokes.
And loves it.
Yeah, he does.
Lives
love
for it.
Vesty, mate, thanks very much for jumping on. Really appreciate it. Good to hear that 172 beat per minute lewd activity getting a run in the gym, mate. You keep campaigning.
Thank you. Thanks very much, guys.
Shout out to Wombat as well.
Yeah, shout out to little Wombat at home. Just all cooped up in the pen. She's had a de-sexing, so she's in the pits.
She's not happy.
She's not happy.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate
thanks,
your
mate.
Time. We'll chat to
easy.
You.
Have a good one. See you later, boys.
Each episode on the Socks Up podcast, we talk about someone in the squad or in the community that needs to pull their socks up. Nice easy one this week. We're day one. Haven't even been in the new facility for more than an hour on Monday. And Isaac Henry walks into the brand new physio facility, brand new beautiful room, state of the art. Walks over to the microwave and throws in his sweet potato and tuna feed and cooks it on high for 2 minutes and stinks out the whole room and then just sits down in the room eating it with all the physios just staring at him going, what are you doing? So if we want to keep this facility nice, there'll be no heating up of food in the physio room. So Zachy Henry, pull your socks up.